4PWA, W4DJW.
Good morning, Dave. I tell you what, I'm missing another beautiful day. I'm on my way to Newberry to go and do another state certification on a machine.
That's what I was going to ask, if you were still working. You have any end in sight today, or are you going to be working all day?
Quick calculations in the back of the brain here real quick. Calculations, I might be available to fly at 3 o'clock. What does your weather prognosticator say about the winds? I know it's supposed to be beautiful. I know it's supposed to be, what, 70? Oh, shoot, my truck.
At 3 o'clock, it says 75 degrees and 11 mile an hour winds. 2% chance of rain.
Well, 11 miles an hour is a little bit steep for that Bixler, I think.
Yeah, it does start flapping its wings on its own with that kind of wind. But I was thinking about going out after lunch.
Well, I tell you what, if you took off at about 11 or 11:30, something like that, I think that would be absolutely conditions perfect. Because I don't think there's much of anything out there as far as wind right now. And it is, I mean, oh, I'm looking back towards the mountains. It is severe clear. Man, it's beautiful. And I'll bet you the mass air index would just be perfect.
Well, at 6 at 11, at 11 a.m., it's 6 mile an hour winds. And at 12, it goes up to 8. At 1, it's 11, and it stays at 11 until 4 when it goes up to 12, and then at 5, it comes down to 9.
House, the winds were running 3 to 5.
Well, I'm going to see if it really is that at about, well, after lunch is over. I've been watching the markets and the news this morning and charging. I just put my last two batteries on charge, so now I'm going to eat lunch and then head out there and see what it's like.
Hey, listen, key up and give me about 5 seconds of dead key. Okay, it's got to be my hearing aids. I swear I thought I heard an ever so slight ring in there, but it's not there now, so it's got to be my hearing aids. Oh, another symptom of geezeritis.
I do have another TV going in the other room that's got 6 news channels on one station. Sometimes you got to get through there and mute the ones that you don't want to listen to. Sometimes it does just sound like ringing, and you might be hearing it from the other room. I just don't hear it.
All right. Well, so is there anything new on the Russian front? I haven't even turned the news on this morning.
Yeah, they're stepping up their airstrikes, so they're hitting more cities with more air, you know, missiles coming in, and they're being indiscriminate about it. They're not precision like they said they would be, and targeted toward military. They're not like that. They're just indiscriminate. They're hitting anything and everything. So, and people are pleading, right? There's some twin brothers that were national champions or international champions for wrestling. And somebody asked them, are you just going to stay there? Are you going to leave? And they said, this is home. This is where we live. We're not leaving here. They're going to stay there till they die. And same thing with one of the members of parliament. She was saying just a few minutes ago, we need support, people, because when we're done, who's next? Right? At some point, you got to say, at some point, you got to put your foot down, because, you know, when it, They might be, you know, like the sacrificial lamb right now, but once they're done, then that's a win for Putin. Then who's next, right? And she's right. She's absolutely right. The president is still saying, hey, guys, we need your help. We need your help. And I'm thinking, I don't know what our official, I mean, I know nobody wants World War III, but at the same time, you can't let Putin win. Because if he wins that, he'll just go for the next one. At some point, you got to put your foot down.
What you have just given me is the late 1959, early 1960s domino theory, which got us into Vietnam.
I think that's what the officials want to avoid at all costs. And at all costs means at the cost of Ukraine, Because, I mean, their cities are, the bombing has vastly increased this morning. So they showed a map a little while ago that had, I don't know, it looked like over a dozen cities that were being bombed at that moment.
And the other side of the coin, Dave, is the Lord Chamberlain theory, you know. The guy's a psychotic. Putin's a psychotic, and that's all you can say. He's a power-hungry psychotic, and you cannot placate a psychotic like that. And that's what Lord Chamberlain found out in 38. And, you know, at some point, you do have to stand up and say enough is enough. But I tell you, it can't be just us.
W4DJW. Well, we were the first that I heard that said, look, we can't enforce the no-fly zone that you want, because that would mean if Russia came in there, we would have to shoot them down. And if we shot them down, then that we're the aggressors in World War III. And then I heard yesterday Great Britain came out with the exact same words. And then today Germany came out with the exact same words. So it's not just us. Europe is united. We're kind of leading. I mean, we were the first to throw that out there, and then they followed suit. And we're giving them, they were given $500 million worth of aid, and we were $350 million of it, and the rest of Europe was the rest of it. Now I'm hearing they're getting even more. So I think NATO is united like they've never been united before.
We are part of NATO, and we must stand with NATO. I agree 100%. But in the same breath, I think NATO needs to take the lead on this, and NATO needs to be the ones to say, hey, it's time. Let's go.
That's right. So we're not left holding the bag. You're absolutely right. I agree with that.
You know, leadership is one thing, and we've tried to be the leader. But I think our country has learned that, you know, if nobody falls in behind you and just says, well, they took the lead, let them do it. Well, we've taken the brunt of the cost and the grief of being the leaders. Now it's time for them to step up, too.
Well, one thing I got to say for the news media, too, because, you know, normally during times like this, the news media is useless. In fact, they're more of a pain than they are. They do more harm than they do good. But right now, the news media has actually, well, you know, 4 out of 6 have actually flipped over to the good side. I'm watching BBC News too, because they're right there next to it. They see it. They see a different view of it than we do. But they're humanizing the people of Ukraine. They're going out and picking up, you know, they're having an interview with grandma, and they're having an interview with a mother of 3 children, and they're interviewing with the people that are in the bunker, that are with the babies, the preemies that need constant attention. They're making human beings out of who Putin is about to kill. And so that's good that they're doing that. They're humanizing it so that it shows just how inhumane Putin really is. And that's actually adding value for at least 4 out of 6 news stations. The other two that are on the extreme ends, that all they can do is complain about Democrats and Republicans, and those two on the ends, they're useless. But the other 4 are providing real value.
I'll say this. I saw last night a report. Every now and then I'll flip over to CNN and listen to what they have to say. And last night they had a report by this individual, one of the CNN staff, on site in Ukraine, and said that they get a tractor trailer load of AK-47s, and within 15 minutes, they did it 3 different times at 3 different locations, and they said within 15 minutes, there's a line of people that wraps around 2 city blocks of people trying to get weapons just so that they can go fight. That says something right there.
That is extremely commendable. Those people, that's their home, and they're willing to do whatever it takes for their home. Send the women and children to the border, get them safe, The men stay, men between 18 and 60, and there's some that are lower than that, and there's some that are higher than that, that are willing to get out there and put their life on the line for their country. That is commendable. And that's what two of our senators were saying earlier this morning, is that, guys, we got to get them the weapons. We got to get them there fast. It's going to do no good if you pull the ripcord on the parachute after you hit the earth, right? That does you no good.
I just hope we get it, get the material in there fast enough. And what they need right now is javelins, shoulder-fired tank killers, and whatever other heavier armament they can get in there to take care of some of those tanks. And they need Stingers. They need Stingers so bad it's unreal. They could knock down Soviet aircraft so fast. I just hope they get it in there.
Germany's supplying the Stingers. That's Germany's supplying two types of ground-to-air missiles, and Stingers is one of the two. I forget what the other one was. But you're right. We gotta get it in there. What I was thinking is that they retired the A-10 Warthog. You get 10 good pilots and 10 good A-10s, they could wipe out that 40-mile convoy in 10 minutes.
One of the guys at the lunch yesterday, I never knew this, and I won't give his name over the radio. You can call me, but I bet that you remember him because he was one class ahead of you. And I did not know that he was a tank division commander. He was an army captain, and he had 24 tanks under him, and he was stationed in Europe. And he said that he would get up every morning when they went out onto the line, and they were within 300 yards of the Russian troops on the other side of the border, and every morning he'd get up there on the front of his tank, take a whiz towards them. And he says that their armor divisions that are going in there right now, he says it would be worse than the first time Bush went into Kuwait, that they could just absolutely clean that mess out in a hurry.
Well, yeah, I think you told me about who that was, Craig, I think, somebody. I think you told me, but I don't think I knew him. I might have to look him up to see if I knew who that was. But I was going to say something. Anyway, I was just watching another senator on there. Our senators are very vocal. That's good. People are getting involved. I like it, but I fear it's going to be too late. It's going to be too little too late. Getting it in there, that's what most of the people are worried about, is getting them what they need. Get the artillery in there. It's not a matter of the funds being raised to get to purchase it. That's not an issue. It's getting it in that's the issue. Anyway.
Hey, I just texted you his name. And there's an is in between. I don't know how that got in there. You know, voice recognition just stinks.
Oh, yeah, I know who that is. Yeah. That was the one I was telling you about with the Opal, the Buick Opal. Remember that?
Yeah. So you do remember him?
I knew his sister. I didn't know him.
Well, anyhow, you know what? You're just going to have to go ahead and come to a lunch sometime soon, now that you can. And it's just a great bunch of guys. We get into Charlie's Barbecue and just have a ball.
Where is Charlie's Barbecue? Where, you told me yesterday, but I forgot.
There's two ways to get over there. More than likely, you would come down Highway 14. Now, when you come down Highway 14, you cross over 85, you come down the hill, big long hill, then come back up the other side up to where Batesville Road, Pelham Road intersection is with Highway 14. And if you come up to that intersection, if you look straight across the intersection, on the far side, there's a little shopping strip right there, and they're in that little shopping strip on the corner of the building.
Highway 14 or Highway 101?
Where Highway 14 comes down and intersects with the end of Pelham Road.
So when I went to WCRC for years, I would go 101 out to 85, up 85 to 14, down 14 to Highway 417, where it crosses over to Woodruff Road, and then I hit WCRC right there on the left. Are you talking about going further down than 417?
Do it this way. You're coming out Pelham Road. You cross over 85, away, going away from Greenville, and you come down the hill, and when you come down to the hill to the traffic light at 14, look to your right, and there's Charlie's Barbecue. It sits on the corner with the Sphinx station right there.
W4DJW. That's where that restaurant that burned down was, right in that area, right?
A long time ago.
Yeah, the one that set over that stream that went under 14, I guess it. What was the name of that place? Old Mill Stream or something like that? I can't remember.
Sure, you remember that. That was the Old Mill Stream, and it became the first Fats location. And that guy, Jimmy, he's dead now, but he started Copper River, and he was notorious around the area for being one of the local Greenville gangsters. And, oh, man. He burnt the Old Mill Stream as an insurance fire, and it stayed there with police tape around it for like 4 or 5 years, them trying to prove that he burned it for arson.
I never knew what happened. I didn't know he burned his own restaurant down, but I knew it burned. And that was kind of like a classy place to go out to eat too, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a great place. It was a great place, but the old building, you know, it needed help. I mean, the building was like 100-something years old, and it was one of the original old cotton warehouses and tool sheds or machinery sheds for the mill that was there at that area. I'm trying to remember the name of it now. Shoot.
Okay, well, we got off on a tangent. So, bottom line is, you're not going flying today?
If the wind is manageable at 3 o'clock, I'll be there. But from your prognostications, 11 is a little steep for me.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I'm just going to play it by ear. I'm going to look at it after I eat lunch. And if it's not too bad, I'm going to head out that way and at least try it. And you asked me the name of that optical place. It was Stanton, because my new glasses came in. Stanton, Stanton Optical.
Yeah. Is there in front of Tractor Supply?
Yeah, that's it. My new glasses came in yesterday, so I went up there and got good glasses again. I've been going with these old scratched up lenses for about 12 years now.
I feel your pain, brother. I got a pair of them on just like that right now. Let me ask you this. Are they opticians or are they just optometrists with an eye doctor?
They got an eye doctor back there in the back. It's the same one that my wife had when she moved to Greer 50 years ago. Not 50 years ago, but a long, long time ago. He's been around for a long time.
Be careful of dating. Be careful of dating females, too. Okay. Well, so you're reasonably pleased with them? Because I've got to find somebody where I can go in and get a separate eye exam.
I'm happy with them as a temporary solution before I go investigating that solution that Tom came up with. N0TR Tom, he came up with the Clemson University's ability to eliminate the need for glasses. And my mother-in-law had that done, but she said it only lasted 3 years. So, and now she sees that it's starting to drift back the way that it used to be. And that's kind of expensive for 3 years if you don't have insurance that pays 100% for it. And you know, the insurance that we could get with where my wife works doesn't cover, they have minimal eye coverage.
Yeah, same here. Well, just the Stanton eye group there, are they reasonable or moderately priced?
Yeah, so I So this is the first time. I didn't even know it, but I've never needed anything except for when I was at a computer screen. And I've tried to get other glasses multiple times during that 12-year period where I haven't had good glasses, and I paid up to $600 for a pair of glasses. And they're like, if you're not looking out of the center of the lens, it's blurry. So I have to, like, move my head from left to right as I'm reading a computer screen if I'm wearing those, and that just doesn't work. And I paid $600 for those glasses. They just don't work. And I've had others in between, like less than that and up to $600. Nothing worked. This pair that I got yesterday for being near the computer screen, I paid for those. They were like $5-something, and they actually worked. And I got another pair for free, and I decided that other pair was going to be for, he shows you what you're tolerating seeing without glasses, without being in front of a computer screen. And I was tolerating a lot of fuzziness that I didn't need to tolerate. So he gave me another pair of glasses that I can wear when I'm not in front of a computer screen, and it makes everything nice and crisp and clear. And that those were free.
For around $500, that includes the eye exam and two pair of glasses.
That's a special they had going on when my wife signed us up. Yep.
Too bad. That's not too bad. I'm just kind of hoping. See, when I get up in these x-ray panels and I work around stuff in my shop and all that, I'm kind of rough on glasses. And I've got glasses that the ears fold in and out, but they also fold up and down, kind of like a universal joint. And I'd burn through a pair of glasses about every 6 months before I got those. Now the lenses last me about 18 months to 2 years, you know, if I'm lucky. And the frames, I'm still on the same set of frames, but I was going through frames there for a while.
Well, they have some kind of a guarantee. I didn't pay too much attention to it because they usually don't use guarantees, but they have some kind of a guarantee. And I selected a coating that made mine come in 2 weeks after Amy's, because it's been a couple of weeks since we've been there. Hers came in like the next day or the day after that. Mine came in 2 weeks later because of the coating. She asked me, do you want a blue kind of a scratch-proof coating? And I said, yeah, why not? I didn't know it was going to make it take longer. So I'm hoping that that means that these are going to be a little bit tougher than the other ones.
What it's worth, I've been going to Costco, and I've been getting that scratch-proof coating, too, and it's worthless. I mean, you know, if you're out your shop and you drop your glasses, they're scratched, period. No way around it.
Well, mine went many years before they started developing scratches. The pair that I've had for the last dozen years, they went a long time before I started, you know, not being able to take good enough care of them to prevent them from getting all scratched up. So I'm hoping I can do that again. Now that these are new, I will take a little better care of them.
Yeah. Well, see, it's different environments. You know, you get out and you start working on stuff, and you get into odd angles, looking down and up and around into panels and all kinds of different stuff. And, you know, you turn your head where you got your head stuffed in a machine, and oops, there's something over your left eye that you didn't see, and you hit your brain, that kind of thing.
I get it. When I'm working around the house and on the cars and in the shredding leaves and, you know, tearing the plate off of something, I need my glasses so I can see to take it off and put it back on, and working with air tools. I know what you mean. It happens.
I admittedly, it's kind of hard on them. But anyhow, all right, I'm going to go over there and check them out, see what I can come up with. And, hopefully I'll be able to come up with something pretty good, and they'll do a good job. See, like Costco, man, they've had four different doctors in there in 3 years. And, well, two of them hit it pretty close. One of them missed it a mile. And the third one, okay. They're okay, but my eyes are changing a little bit now, and I want somebody to zero in on it. You know what I mean? Really hit it close. So that's why I'm trying to find somebody that's really conscientious and good quality.
Well, this guy does. I mean, he doesn't, like the one that I went to before, he spent like 30 minutes going through all these kind of tests, and in the end, You get a pair of glasses that don't work like you ask them for, because they're either not listening to you when you're answering their questions, or you're just not on the I may not have been on the same wavelength with them. But this guy, he only takes about 5 minutes to go through the things that he goes through. He rules out a couple of things that could be wrong, with bursts of air in your eyeball and that kind of stuff. And then he does some measurements, and he'll ask you about 3 or 4 times, is this better than that? Is that better than that? And when you finish with that, you're done. So 5 minutes, you're in and out of there with the eye exam, which is nice. And in the end, he gets it right. Whereas the other guy spent 30 minutes, and in the end, he blew it.
That's a solid recommendation, then. I'll go down there and check him out. And do you feel comfortable giving me his name?
I didn't pay enough attention to it to retain it in my head.
Okay. Well, all right. Yeah, because I hate to get that Wednesday afternoon substitute when he's off playing golf.
I don't think you'll get an appointment when he's out playing golf. I think he's the only doctor that's there, and everybody else is nurses or practitioners.
I know what you mean, and I'm not going to have a PA do my prescription exam either. That's one thing I had a few years ago, and they completely blew it.
Call him up there and ask him what the doctor's name is. The eye doctor. What is his name? And see what they tell you.
Well, like I said, you've given a good recommendation, and you say they hit it just about right, huh?
There's these don't go as far as my old glasses, so I'm going to keep my old glasses when I'm reading. I'll keep my head still, and my eyeballs go back and forth, right? Well, when your eyeballs go up and down that lens, if you get too far off to one side, and I got big monitors now, I've got like 6 feet of monitor, and they meet in the middle, so like 3 feet on each end. And I don't read from one end to the other, but I'll look at one of the two, and I'll read from one end to the other, and I just don't want it to get blurry while I'm doing that. I don't want to have to move my head up and down that 3 foot area to be able to read. You know what I mean? These two very, very close to those other ones. Not quite as good, but very, very close.
Exactly what you mean. You look like a bobblehead trying to focus on something.
Yeah, yeah. They should work, you know, when you're up close reading something without you having to move your head up and down the screen. If I was going to do that, I'd just have a magnifying glass like Dick Tracy or Sherlock Holmes.
I know what you mean. Well, you know, did they give you progressive lenses?
They asked if I wanted them. And I got to go, that's Amy. They asked if I wanted them, and I told them no. So, no, they did not. But you can get them if you want them.
Phone call. I'll let you grab that, and we'll talk again soon. I've got progressives, and they're great. Matter of fact, I got them on now, trying to drive, but they're just, my eyes have changed. So anyhow, 73, K4, NWA, clear FT5.
Good talking to you, W4DJW, clear.